episode of the Double Comma Club with your host, Nicole Ruth of the Ruth Team, the number one lending team in Colorado. As a final installment of the Agent Ignite episode with Tracy Wilson of Investment Property Exchange Services, he's going over all the proposed tax changes for the Biden-Harris packages that are out there and how it's going to affect you, and especially your buyers and investors and your sellers, everybody. You need to know what's coming down the pipe because you want to be ready. Please listen to this very important episode. And later, you can go back and listen to the previous episodes on the 1031 exchange facts and 1031 reverse exchange.
The following. We all went through COVID and the lockdowns, and you know, we're coming out of it, and the economy is doing pretty dang good, all things considered. Nicole gave a brilliant presentation on all things economic. That's terrific. And I used to tell people, you know, we are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Unfortunately, with these proposed tax changes, which are coming, I think that the light at the end of the tunnel is actually a train coming right at us. Because as of 2 days ago, the Senate has proposed a $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation package. And you're going to see what that looks like. So we're going to take a look at 1031s first because, gee whiz, that is near and dear to my heart. Proposal to limit 1031s is actually inside of Biden's American Family Plan, which was that $3.5 trillion package that I told you was just presented a day and a half ago. Let's take a sidebar for a minute because the following is important. To understand these six major changes that we're going to look at, you have to understand how they're being packaged, how they are being marketed by Congress, so that you understand. They already passed a package back in March, the American Rescue Plan, $1.9 trillion, and they used a thing called budget reconciliation. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. The surprising thing was they jammed this through, even though the previous CARES Act had $800 billion that had not yet been spent. It blows my mind. Then the American Jobs Plan is a $2.3 trillion infrastructure deal, and the American Family Plan, $1.8 trillion. So underneath number two, raise the corporate tax rate, increase global minimum tax, et cetera. Underneath number three is raise individual income taxes, raise capital gains. For each one of these spending packages, they have cherry-picked tax proposals, six big ones that we're going to look at. And here's the upshot. This is $6 trillion in new spending. Today's federal debt is at $28 trillion. If this all goes through, we'll be at $34 trillion. That would mean our debt-to-income ratio will be north of 150%. Just, all right, now, that in mind, I'm going to blank out the actual spending plans, and I want you to look at just these taxes. These taxes that we'll discuss will raise $3.5 trillion. So only half of the $60 trillion of spending are theoretically going to be paid for with taxes. That means all the rest will be borrowed. What's a good debt to income ratio for somebody, you know, looking for a loan on an investment rental property? I don't know, what, 30% maybe or something?
Yeah, 43 at the most.
43, wow. Go get your loans from Nicole. She's willing to just give you money. Well, yeah, the United States, our debt-to-income ratio is 150-some percent. You need to understand the following mechanisms. Unless you've been living under a rock, there were two Senate runoff races in Georgia that went to Ossoff and Warnock. That means that the Senate went 50-50 Republican. We need to understand this in terms of the machinations of the proposed tax changes. The House is essentially under Democrat control by the slimmest margin in 30 years, just 7 votes. So it's the Senate and its composition that's crucial to passing this broad, large tax legislation. To normally pass changes to the tax code requires a simple 60 supermajority vote. But with the Senate being a 50-50, it would only take a few defecting Republicans to allow changes. Do I think that's going to happen? I think in today's political environment, it will. But you know something? They don't need a single Republican vote to pass these proposed tax changes. There is a thing called budget reconciliation. And again, I remind you, they already jammed through a $1.8 trillion plan 2.5 months ago. What is budget reconciliation? It means that they only need 51 votes. Where's that 51st vote going to come from? From Vice President Harris. She acts as president of the Senate in tie votes only. And that means that they can pass budget reconciliation. They are limited to using budget reconciliation only 3 times in 1 year. And they can only use it once for spending, once for revenue, and once to raise the federal debt limit. By the way, we're going to run into the federal debt limit at the end of this month. Will they be able to pass these changes that we're about to talk about without a single Republican vote using budget reconciliation? And the answer is yes, and I think they plan on doing so. 1031s, here's the deal. Here's what were they going to do. They were a year ago, or not quite a year, 9 months ago, they were going to repeal the whole thing. Then they said, no, we're just going to limit 1031s to people making $400,000 or less. All that's done and out of the way, here's what they're talking about. They're going to limit 1031s to a gain of only $500,000 or less. So if you're talking about larger pieces of real estate or perhaps commercial real estate that may have larger gains, doubtful if you'll be able to do a 1031. The rub with this $500,000 is that they've not told us very much about it. Is that $500,000 gain per sale, per transaction? Or is it a once-in-a-year deal? Or is it a once-in-a-lifetime deal? What about married people? A married family and joint, do each one of the spouses get to have $500,000, meaning that they could do maybe $1 million 1031 exchange? What about people that are in an LLC or a partnership? Do each one of the K-1 tax filers get to have that $500,000 max? We don't know. They've not told us. They've not defined it. What if the gain is more than 500 grand? Let's make it up. Let's say it's 650. Would you be able to do an exchange for 500,000 and then just pay the tax on the excess 150,000 gain? Again, we just don't know. I think a lot of this is by design. I think they're stealthily trying to get this through so that there's less disruption or able to be voted on. Ernst & Young did, one of the big four accounting firms, said that 1031s actually add more than 500,000 jobs to the economy. It produces about $27 billion in labor income, and it adds total value to the economy of about $55 billion. 1031s are a big deal to the real estate world and the economy as a whole. 1 in 5 residential sales, 20%, are driven by a 1031 exchange. Think about all the vacation homes and single-family homes and duplexes out there, renting. 1 in 3 commercial real estate deals are driven by a 1031 exchange. In fact, when you look at commercial real estate deals that are $30 million or less, that number actually goes up to about 50%, or 1 in 2 deals are driven by a 1031 exchange. Bloomberg did a study with the University of Florida that looked at the fact that rents would need to be increased 8 to 13% to offset the effects of limiting 1031s. Commercial real estate property values would decline anywhere from 8 to 12%. They're going to raise individual income tax rates, but Biden has said that they will raise taxes on only those people making $400,000 or more. I think that this will probably happen. I think the likelihood is pretty great, and that means that it will affect only the people in the top 2 marginal tax brackets. But wait, they're going to reinstitute what are called PEAS limitation and PEP, P-E-P, personal exemption phase-outs, which means that they will end up having to raise the top 3 marginal tax brackets. Just for example, if you're in Colorado, that means that you're a top taxpayer, your income tax bracket would be 48%. For somebody in a high tax state, California, New Jersey, their tax bracket, the highest tax bracket, would be north of 50%, and in some cases approaching 60% as a marginal tax bracket. I told you that they'd probably have to raise the top 3 tax brackets. The 32% bracket would go up to 35, 35% bracket would go up to 37, and the 37 bracket would go up to 39.6, we think. The $400,000 that they're, not tax anybody making 400 grand or less. They have not defined it. Is it married, filing joint? Is it a single taxpayer then that makes 200,000 and above? It's not been clearly defined. The thing that I want to note here in this, the United States' tax code is already quite progressive. If you take a look at the top 5%, They earn 33% of all the income, but they pay 56% of all the taxes. But let's take that information and expand it. Compare the United States to some other countries. You look at the top 10% of earners of countries around the world. For example, France, the top 10%. They earn 25% of all the money, but they pay 28% of the tax burden. That's fairly close, 25 and 28%. Germany, top 10%, earn 29% of all the money, but they pay 31% of the tax burden. Sweden, top 10, they earn 26%, but they end up paying almost 27% of the tax burden. United Kingdom, Great Britain, England, top 10%, earn 32%, but they pay about 38% of the tax burden. Then you take a look at the United States. The top 10% earn 37% of the income, but they pay 68% of the tax burden. You can see that we are already quite progressive. You know, so the do the rich pay their fair share? I think this sort of answers that question. By the way, raising individual income tax rates would probably reduce GDP by about 1.5%. That's worth about $330 billion of decreased economic output per year. So long-term capital gains. So we just talked about this. And remember, I deliberately emphasized this when we were talking about 1031 exchanges. So here's what Biden-Harris wants to do with long-term capital gains. Today there are three capital gains taxes. If you make $80,000 or less, whether you're single or married, you pay zero capital gains. That's not bad. If you make $80,000 to $400,000, you're going to get taxed on your gain at 15%. If you make $400,000 above, then your capital gains are at 20%. There is actually a fourth capital gains rate of sorts. It's for real estate. Why is real estate so different than selling stocks or bonds or mutual funds? Because we have that unrecaptured depreciation. It's taxed as a separate gain, 25%, making the sale of investment real estate 30% capital gains. And I know we went through that, so I'm going to march a little bit faster. So what does Biden-Harris want to do? Anybody that makes $1 million or earns $1 million or more, their capital gains rate will zoom up to ordinary income, 39.6, i.e. 40%. You must always include the 3.8% for Obamacare, making capital gains 43.4%. So what gives? What's the concept going on here? Why does the United States, why have we in the tax code for probably more than 100 years, taxed capital gains at a lower rate, a preferred rate? Because we want people to invest in things. We want them to invest in the stock market. We want them to invest in their business. We want them to invest in real estate. And you got to remember, when you get a long-term capital gain, you buy something, then you sell it because it's gone up in value. Guess what? That gain results from the fact that you already were taxed from your ordinary income. You took your after-tax income, and instead of just sitting on it or stuffing it under the mattress or putting it in the bank and earning some small savings rate, you took a risk and you invested in stocks or bonds or real estate. And last but not least, long-term capital gains are not adjusted at all for inflation. This is why we tax capital gains at a lower preferred rate. Every single time in 75 years of history, every single time the capital gains taxes have been raised, the amount of capital expenditure, real estate, stocks, bonds, et cetera, has gone down. It is a case study, but they're going to raise it. Oh yeah, are any of this going to be retroactive? Well, the answer is the Treasury released their green book on May 28th saying that capital gains, this new higher tax rate, when it's passed by Congress, would be retroactive backwards in time to April 28th. Could that change? It could. Congress can do anything, but they've given us a definite heads up that they intend to make it retroactive. The estate tax, here's the current status. The estate tax under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is now $11.7 million for a single, $22.5 million for married filing joint. What Biden-Harris wants to do is drop that down to $3.5 million for single, $5 million for married filing joint. What the heck does that mean? When you die, everything you own, your house, your cars, maybe some real estate investments, your stocks, your bonds, your baseball card collection, your comic book collection, whatever, that estate, the value of it. If it's under today's numbers, if you're single, if it's less than $11 million, then fine, you don't have to pay the estate tax, which, by the way, under Trump was kept the same as it was under Obama and Bush at 40%. Biden-Harris wants to drop that $11 million down to $3.5 million. So now if you die and the value of your estate is, I don't know, let's make it up, $5 million, then $3.5 million doesn't get taxed, but the amount above that will get taxed. And by the way, they're going to raise the tax from 40 up to 45%. Next on the list, step up in basis. Of all the things that I'm talking about, all these six big proposed tax changes, this is the worst. This will ripple throughout the tax code. Today, when you die, your stocks, your bonds, your real estate will pass to your heirs, and the cost basis steps up to today's fair market value, eliminating, erasing, wiping out the gains. If your kids are like mine, they're going to get the real estate, they're going to turn around and sell it before the funeral's even over, and they don't have to pay the capital gains taxes that have been wiped out. But what Biden-Harris wants to do is eliminate the step-up in basis for singles that have more than $1 million, or for married filing joint, $2 million or more. In other words, what they're telling you is that their heirs are going to pay taxes on unrealized gains. The reason that the step-up in basis was put into the tax code more than 100 years ago was to keep the kids from being forced to sell the farm or the ranch or the business simply to pay for the capital gains taxes. They definitely want to remove this from the tax code. All right, last but not least, raising corporate income taxes. And you may say, geez, I don't give a whit about corporate America. Yeah, actually you do. Corporate income taxes before Trump and the Tax Cuts Jobs Act were taxed at 35%. Just like you and I pay income tax, so do corporations, 35%. Well, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, the average was 25%, meaning that if you were a corporation and you're headquartered in the United States, you were paying 10% more on average than other countries. So they dropped it down to 21%. They tried to keep corporations here, keep them from leading, you know, inversions to foreign countries, and maybe even incentivizing corporations to relocate back here to the United States. Biden-Harris wants to undo that, raise it from 21 to 28%. Gee whiz, what are the effects of that? The United States would once again be less competitive than other countries. China, Germany at 30%, Japan at 37%, et cetera, you can read. And the second point to remember, corporations essentially do not pay taxes. Anywhere from 70% to maybe as much as 80% of a tax increase always gets passed through to consumers in higher prices. The remaining 30 or 20% of the tax increase results in a higher cost of capital for the corporations, which again gets passed on through the shareholders in reduced dividends and payouts. I already mentioned the fact that the IRS's budget is going to zoom from $12.3 billion up to $80 billion. State and local taxes, SALT deduction, was capped under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. They are going to repeal it, or they're going to try their best. And then there's a whole host of other things on this page. They're going to apply that 3.8% of Obamacare or Affordable Care Act to pass through business income. They're going to reinstate the alternative minimum tax, AMT, for corporations. The AMT for individuals did remain under Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but the thresholds were increased. Biden-Harris is going to lower those thresholds, capturing more and more taxpayers in the AMT trap. I also previously mentioned that itemizations and the P's and PEP limits are going to be reinstated, meaning that they'll raise not only the top two, but probably the top three marginal tax brackets. A wonderful deduction was brought in for the last 3 years, QBI, qualified business income. That's going to be repealed. I feel pretty confident that they'll do that. Gas tax and maybe a new mileage tax. And then everybody, I think if you've watched the news at all, every couple or even every single parent that has a child age 6 and under has gotten $300 per kid. Every month that'll happen. If the kid is anywhere from 6 to 17, that is $250 for each child every month. If you would like to make your voice heard on 1031s or on any one of these proposed tax changes, go to our website. There's a big red banner. Click it. then it takes you to a pre-formatted, pre-canned letter. If you like the letter, fine, click send. If you want to add your thoughts to the letter or change it, fine, do so. And our website will automatically send it to the congressman, your senators, your representatives, based on your zip code, so it knows which area you're living in. All right, that is it. I think I'm fairly well done.
Hey, I do have a question, though, really quickly. When you were talking about the changes, right, the step-up in value, the lifetime inheritance tax, all this stuff, it was one thing for single versus married. Many people, when they get to that point in life, there's probably one of you because somebody has died. So would you then, so does that estate tax protection then drop if the mom or dad survives and passes on that inheritance? Does it drop to the smaller number versus if they both died at the same time?
So it's a two-part answer. It depends on whether or not there's been any estate planning, whether or not there's been an AB trust imposed, whether or not there's been any GST, generation skipping trusts, whether or not there's been any Clifford trusts put into place for education. But assuming that is a no, then the answer is there's a certain amount of time that the second spouse can die and still reap the benefits of the combined joint estate tax valuation. By the way, on the estate valuation, half the basis does get stepped up for the step up in basis. I mean, if you, let's say a married couple owns a house, whether it's their own home or a rental, and it's 500 grand and one of them passes away. Well, and then the surviving spouse sells the house within a year or two or three. That's the window of opportunity. Well, there's a step up in basis so that the surviving spouse will only pay the capital gains taxes on the half that they own the other partner's half. The basis was stepped up and capital gains are eliminated. Of course, that too is going to be eliminated if they get their way.
And somebody asked if you know this answer, the child care tax or credits, which I brought up in my half as well. If the parents are divorced and you have 50-50 custody, who gets that money?
It's whoever takes the deduction for the child.
I want a lot of people to go back and forth. So that will they just go to the
Whatever taxable year. If it's your taxable year to take the child deduction, in other words, you write them off as a dependent, then you'll be able to get the money. If it goes next year to the other person, then next year they'll get the money.
Tracy, wow. What a power-packed time together. A ton of information on 1031 exchanges. So much information. Never thought about the train coming the other direction. So, wow, this was huge. So appreciate you. So appreciate you sharing your time. So such a pleasure. Tracy, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. I really do. All righty. Bye-bye, folks.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
You've been listening to The Double Comma Club. Never miss an episode. Subscribe at thedoublecommaclub.com. or your favorite podcast venue to hear more success stories, get free tips on how you can get on the path to becoming a millionaire through real estate at any age. If you enjoyed this, you might also enjoy our YouTube channel. Just look for The Roof Team on YouTube or visit our site, theroofteam.com.